All the levels are good, so.
Yeah. Did you already push record?
I did push record.
So we're recording now?
Yeah, we're recording now.
You never let me know.
Yeah.
What's happening?
We're
he warned you when we came in.
Yeah.
He said, we just start.
Yeah, this is what I do.
He started before I was in here.
Yeah.
Want me to hit the intro?
Yes.
All right.
Let's do that.
Hold on. Let me turn the intro. And I'll hit the intro.
You had one job to do.
Where's the intro? Why won't it work?
Are you off of the... It's not lit up.
It isn't lit up. That's a good... Hold on. Oh, because it's on Bank B.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we were putting all the fun stuff. There we go. Now we're intro.
All right. Welcome to My Dad's Movie Podcast. I'm Mick Johnson. I'm the dad. And with me, as usual, is Tabor Johnson, my son.
Hi, how's it going? Technically, it's My Dad's Movie Podcast. He always says it's My Dad's Movie Podcast, but he's my dad, so it's My Dad's.
That's true.
Movie Podcast.
My dad's actually dead, so this is Tabor's Dad's Movies Podcast.
Yeah. Your dad's alive, right, Derek?
Yeah, he's alive.
Oh, cool. We have a winner.
You're the first guest we've had on our show whose dad is alive.
Actually?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. So knock on wood on your way out of here, just to make sure.
He could be dead. I haven't talked to him in years. Maybe.
Maybe we need to edit into this after we find out how his dad's doing.
Maybe it wasn't a good idea to do this podcast.
Gosh, yeah. It's going to be one of those things like a documentary where you watch the entire documentary and then it has the text at the end where it like it gives you an update afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
So you may have just heard. So we have a guest on the show tonight, Derek Hayden.
What's up?
So, Derek, what I know about you, you're Tabor's friend.
Yes.
And you're a comedian.
Yeah, I try to be.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about you.
I do stand up. I've been doing it for a long time. I just moved back from Austin, Texas. I was doing some stuff out there, and then,
Did you like Austin?
It's a really cool place, yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff to do out there, for sure.
I lived in Corpus Christi for a long time.
Yeah, so I actually went to where the ocean is. What do they call that? The
Padre Island.
Yeah, so I went over there and I was thinking of you, and I was like,
yeah,
okay.
I used to do some bits. About Corpus Christi and Padre Island.
It's not a very nice place. Corpus Christi. I don't think so.
I loved it.
It reminded me. So I'm from Fresno, California. They got that brown sky, and I went over there. And I was like, this is similar to where I come from.
Oh, really?
Fresno. That's it. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. You know what's really funny is everyone wants to go to the beach. When they go to the beach in Corpus, they see all the brown water.
Yeah, shopping carts in the ocean is a new thing.
Well, yeah, that has nothing to do with what I'm about to talk about.
Okay. But
the reason the water is brown is because the tide is bringing the sand in.
Okay.
And when you see blue water, it's because it's taking the sand out. So when you see blue water, that land is slowly being taken out to the ocean, and that land is being whittled away, but Texas is actually being added to. So
okay,
Texas is growing while Florida and California are like being washed away.
Is that the deal with the sky? It's bringing in sand?
Yes.
From the sky.
Sandy sky.
Nice.
Yes, exactly.
It could also have something to do with the fact that it's polluted and garbage.
So we just like eliminated an entire demographic of this podcast. Like Texas is out.
Texas is gone.
Yeah, they're done. They will not listen to this.
Yeah, I liked Corpus. There were some rough parts to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it still called Padre Island? I don't know.
It was when I went there.
Yeah.
They still called it that, yeah.
Okay. Because I know they changed the ocean. It's no longer Gulf of Mexico.
How do you change the ocean?
Well, the name.
Oh, okay.
They changed the name.
It's the Gulf of America now. Yeah.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah.
But don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely not a politics podcast by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. So where are you doing shows and stuff? Are you in Boise now?
Or? I'm in Boise right now. Yeah. So I kind of took a break a little bit in Austin. And so I was getting back into it. there's, yeah, it was starting to feel like they're starting to build stuff up again. It was kind of slow after the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, it seems like there's a decent.
Talk about Boise was slow after the pandemic.
Oh. Well, once the club closed.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of, I don't know. When I first came back, it didn't seem like there was a bunch of stuff, but
yeah,
it's starting to come around.
The pandemic hit and I did one show over a Zoom call.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea. That was your
a Zoom
yes,
show.
And I have not done stand up since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turned me off of stand up so hard.
That's not stand up.
I know. And granted, I've been very busy since. So, I mean, I've been wanting to get back into it. And I'll definitely find some time. It's kind of been hard working night shift.
Yeah.
And especially being back half of the week. Like all the comedy clubs have their shows, you know, Wednesday through Saturday.
Yeah.
That's exactly when I work.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's pretty impossible. Hit a mic or two, but yeah. It's going to be rough.
Unless they do like early morning mics.
Yeah, brunch shows.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, not really a thing.
Oh, yeah. That hot brunch crowd.
Yeah.
At the Denny's.
Yeah. Actually, in Fresno, there was a show they did at Denny's.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was the only time I've ever seen that. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing comedy shows at lunchtime, you're hitting the hardcore alcoholic crowd.
Yeah.
They're starting early.
Yeah, but they're not quite there yet, so it might be simmering. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of Denny's, remember when we used to hit the karaoke at Denny's?
Yeah, where you could smoke inside.
Yeah. I don't know if you can anymore. I think they got rid of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But speaking of that Denny's, that guy we used to sing with, Luke,
mm-hmm.
He was in a band called the Acrotomones.
Okay.
I work with his guitar player. He is my supervisor now at my job.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, kind of a small world.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Before we get too far into this, I forgot. I don't know. Our sponsor is Grape Crush.
Heck yeah, okay.
So do you like Grape Crush?
I don't think I've ever had Grape Crush, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to grab him a Grape Crush real quick. Our sponsor is not really Grape Crush, but
it could be if you say it. Yeah.
If you lie long enough, it happens.
I just start getting checks in the mail.
Yeah.
From Grape Crush. That'd be cool.
Nice. Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ooh. The podcast snap. When you say it long enough, they either actually start sponsoring you or they send you a cease and desist.
Right. Stop talking about us.
Excuse me. It's a flip of the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
So, on this show, we're going to be talking about Rob Reiner and, a couple of his movies, Few Good Men and Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys know about Rob Reiner?
So, I know that Rob Reiner is the son of Carl Reiner.
Yep.
Carl Reiner was, very famous comedian. Back in the day, one of his famous routines was with Mel Brooks doing the 2,000-year-old man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But what I know Carl Reiner most for is his character Saul Bloom in the Ocean's 11 franchise.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot he was on that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's where I know him the best.
I think, didn't he create the Dick Van Dyke Show? Something like that.
Yes, I think he did.
Yeah.
Either he did or he did it with Norman Lear. I'd have to do a little more research on that. But it was kind of a very active, the whole comedy world, they call it like a freshman class, where everyone kind of starts together. And they kind of form this clump, and they always work together. So everyone who started together, like Sarah Silverman and Louis C.K., Marc Maron, all those people are in this clump together, and they're always working with each other, and they're always throwing each other jobs and stuff. And Jason Mantzoukas and Nick Kroll from Kroll Show, and they're all friends and they're always throwing each other stuff. So like the entire cast of Big Mouth,
Yeah.
They're in each other's projects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner was working on something, he would bring Mel Brooks and Norman Lear and all them in. And if Norman Lear was working on something, he'd bring in Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner. And it just kind of stayed within the family. And nice. So that's where Carl Reiner, that was his big cup of tea.
His big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Robert Norman Reiner, that's Rob Reiner, born March 6, 1947 in the Bronx, New York. He's an American film director, producer, screenwriter, actor. So we talked about his dad, Carl Reiner. His mom is Estelle Reiner, and she was an actress and singer. So he came from a family of
performers.
Performers, yeah.
I knew nothing of his mom.
Talk about, I think I'd read something about Rob Reiner was growing up kind of under the shadow of his dad a little bit and thinking that he may not be able to be as successful as his dad, which, you know, I don't think that's true. I think he made a pretty good mark, made some really good movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All in the Family as Meathead.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. You familiar with All in the Family?
No. Yeah. Never watched that.
Yeah. It's probably not in your age range.
Right.
I mean, these two movies are a little bit before my time, but I'd seen both of them. Yeah.
These are movies that your parent is like, you got to watch these. Like your mom or your dad.
I think I watched both of them with my grandparents, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I know A Few Good Men for sure was with my grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are movies that my mom and my dad are like, oh my gosh, you haven't seen, you know, it, more than likely it was something they were quoting and they're like, oh, we quote this all the time.
Yeah.
And so now since we've quoted the entire movie and you
don't get any of the jokes.
Yeah. You don't know any of the references. It's time to sit down and actually watch the movie.
You know, what's really funny about that is I was watching Stand By Me today and you know how I always say piss up a rope.
Yeah.
One of the characters, what's his name?
Teddy?
No. Will Wheaton, Gordy LaChance.
Yeah.
They were up in their little clubhouse, and he loses the card game, and he says, piss up a rope.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't even know that he
that's
said,
what that was from?
Right.
That's funny. All in the Family is a TV show.
Yeah, a little series. Okay.
Yeah, Rob Reiner was in it. He was a side character. The main character was Archie Bunker, and he's oddly enough what Eric Cartman is based off of.
Oh, really?
From South Park.
Oh, that's
crazy. They were just like, it'd be funny if we took Archie Bunker but made him a child.
Yeah.
So that's okay. That's where Eric Cartman came from. So, little fun fact for you.
It's about a family and the dad, Archie Bunker,
is an absolute racist.
He excruciatingly so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But Rob Reiner was in that, and that's kind of where is that where he got his start, or is that where he kind of hit his stride?
So
I would imagine if you're the son of, you know, Hollywood royalty, that's probably not where you got your start. You were probably working as a child, like Opie. From what's his name? Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, yeah.
Yeah.
So he studied at UCLA Film School. And it says in the early 60s, Reiner served as a trainee apprentice at Bucks County Playhouse in New Hope, Pennsylvania. And then in the late 60s, he started getting some little bit roles where he was doing some TV stuff like on Batman, Andy Griffith Show, Gomer Pyle, Beverly Hillbillies, stuff like that. He would just get these little bit parts, and that's how he kind of got started in it.
Gotcha, okay. Which movie you want to start talking about first?
His directorial debut, this is Spinal Tap.
That was his first movie?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good movie.
1984.
For being someone's first movie, that's impressive.
So I don't know anything about that one. I never looked it up. Is it like a... Is it an actual movie, or is it kind of like a documentary about?
It's a mockumentary
about a band or something.
It's a fake band that he created.
Oh, okay.
They're not real. It's got Michael McKean from Better Call Saul, the guy that hits his head on the desk. It's got I'm better than you.
Yeah. That's what I thought of immediately.
Yeah, roll the clip, Jamie. What else? It's got the six-fingered man from
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. He's in that also. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I can pull it up because I got a smartphone. But it was basically there was this documentary that came out right around the same time called The Death of American Civilization Part 2 or something like that. Hmm. And it was about 1980s heavy metal music. And,
okay.
And Ozzy Osbourne was in it. And it was basically like this right-wing conservative documentarian filming these rock stars and following their lives and showing, you know, the excess and the drug use and just like there was one guy who was a rock star who was just drinking an entire bottle of Jack Daniels floating in his mom's swimming pool while he was being interviewed. And like he could barely get any of the words out during the interview because he was just absolutely wasted. And so this was kind of like Rob Reiner's kind of like rebuttal to that documentary. So he created this fake band that didn't exist and made this documentary about this band called Spinal Tap.
Okay.
And the movie became so popular that Spinal Tap actually wrote a full album and they actually toured.
That's cool.
Yeah, with that album for like a full year.
Huh.
And they do reunion shows and all sorts. Oh, and Harry Shearer from The Simpsons, he's in the band also.
Oh, okay.
So it's got some big names in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he's working on 2025 release of Spinal Tap 2.
Yeah.
He's coming out with another one.
Yeah. Because everyone's still alive, except the drummer.
Oh, really?
That's the joke, is that their drummer always dies. So one of the drummers choked on his vomit. The second drummer choked on a ham sandwich. And then the documentary starts with the third drummer. And they're like being super careful with this drummer. They don't want anything to happen to him.
Right.
And so throughout the entire documentary, they're being so careful. They don't want anything to happen. And they get to the entire end of the documentary. And just right at the end of the documentary, he just spontaneously combusts on stage. Like right in the middle of one of their songs, he just explodes like right on the drum set. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a good movie. I recommend it. I hope it holds up. You know, a lot of times there's these movies that I enjoy, and it's because I kind of have an older sensibility, and I feel that if I were to recommend this movie to you, I feel that you would enjoy it. But I wonder if I recommend a movie like this to you, I wonder if it would hold up, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is that just because of like the age difference type of thing, or what are you... I mean, why would I like it? And
you would like it because it's from your era.
Oh, okay.
And I like it because I like everything from that era, and I don't like stuff from this era.
I see.
And Derek likes stuff from this era. You listen to modern music.
True, but I also listen to old music too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone does. See, kinda.
I have this thing. I don't listen to modern music. I hate modern music. I have a 10-year delay where...
So you like 10 years ago music?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So things that are popular now...
Yeah.
I will not get any enjoyment out of it until 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So like, I'm liking Lady Gaga now. I'm liking Kesha now.
Well, we're also starting to get older now too. We're starting like your parents like back in the day, like, oh, I can't stand this music nowadays. Right. We're starting to get into that point now where it's like, dude, do you remember like in high school, all that good stuff? And it's like high school is a while ago. That's not, you know, I kind of feel that way too. There's not a lot of music that I like. Movies are a little different though than music, I would say, just because I feel like technology, like I think a lot of holdups people have is like when you like, I don't know, even like dialogue and stuff, it's just a lot. It's changed a lot where it's like, you have to know, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like you can tell when you watch like an older movie. If it's, these are both fantastic movies, but I've also gone back and be like, this movie's awesome. And I go back and rewatch it and be like, oh, this is so bad. It just doesn't hold up. Like action movies and stuff are just so different. Cause it's like,
well, I know that there's movies that like, my wife and I, we watched when we were younger.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, we got to let our kids watch these. These are fantastic movies. Yeah. So we'll rewatch them just to make sure, you know, before we show our kids. And we rewatch them and we're like, man, that movie sucked.
Yeah.
Why did we think it was so good?
You know what movie I did that with recently? And it made me sad because it was a movie I was like, this movie's so awesome. It was so awesome. And I showed my girlfriend at the time and I was like, this is not good. It's Top Gun. I don't know when the last time you've seen Top Gun.
What?
Yeah. I went back and I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it was just like real corny, but that's like, that's kind of how it was. Like, it is like a time thing, but because I've always loved that movie. And then I went back and rewatched it. And I was like,
it absolutely has a lot of corniness in it. Now, have you seen, what's the second one?
Of Top Gun?
Top Gun Jackson's? No, Maverick. Oh, Maverick. Different.
The
gas
new
station.
One was really good. I really liked the new one.
Yeah.
I really liked the original, like for the longest time. But I went back and I was trying to show somebody, and I was like,
Did you watch it after you watched Maverick?
No. So this is what happened. It was when the new one came out, so I was like, well, you got to watch the first one first. It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And then we go and watch it. I'm like, it's not like I remembered it. Like I remembered it being so different.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I know I've told a few people that and they don't agree with me, but that's something that I've,
I'd probably be one of those people.
I have not watched
Maverick.
I have not seen Maverick, but I have not seen the original Top Gun in, has it been 20 years?
Well, probably.
That's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time.
The one
90s.
Thing,
I think I saw it in the 90s last time I watched it.
The one thing I really liked about Maverick was all the call. I mean, you had to see the first one.
Yeah.
To get all the callbacks in the second one.
Yeah,
and that's what made it so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big thing that changes is the audience's acceptance of pacing. Like if you took a 14-year-old boy and try to get him to watch The Godfather.
Yeah, well, there's TikTok where it's like 5 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Attention span.
Things are different.
Yeah.
The other day, I caught Fallon watching a movie that I like. And it's a movie that I've been trying to get her to watch, and she just wouldn't watch it. And then I caught her watching it in like 30-second increments on TikTok.
Yeah,
and she was watching it vertically in 30-second increments on TikTok, and I was like, I am going to kill you. I was like, I've been trying to get you to watch this for years, and now she's watching it just, and I was like...
She's like, I'll finish this in 2047.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is that I think it is not only it's like abridged. They shorten it. They trim it up.
Right.
But also... the fact that it's in these short little clips, every time you finish a clip, you get a dopamine rush. And so when you watch The Godfather from start to finish, you get one dopamine rush for finishing the movie. But if you watch The Godfather in...
little clippets.
Yeah, in like 25 different clips, you get boom, boom, boom. Right. Huh. And so that's why people are creating... shorter form content is because they're recognizing the psychology of these shorter clips and the attention span of younger audiences. And
attention span's a big one.
Yeah. And they take advantage of that.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot to ask you before we started. How are we doing on memory?
I think we are okay. But if not, we have that other card. We could just swap it on in. Yeah. Last time we had a card issue.
Okay.
And I deleted an interview.
Dude, so, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
No, this was just for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that should probably be the first thing we do.
Yeah.
Make sure we got memory.
Yeah.
So A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that one first.
Perfect.
I like it. That was the first one I watched.
Nice.
Yeah. When was the first time you watched that movie? You remember?
I think I was a kid. And then I rewatched it as I probably was like 10 years ago the last time I saw it. I think both times was with my grandma's. My grandma's got like a big stack of VHSs, and this was one of them. I actually think she has both of them, but yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what did you think? I mean, what was your take on it?
I mean, even rewatching it, it was really good. The movie, talk about pacing too. I felt like the way, like how they give you just enough information as you go along. Like it was, the movie's so good.
Yeah. I feel like this movie does not have a second to let you down. Feel like it keeps you, you know, keeps giving you breadcrumbs.
Right.
And
keeps you moving with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was interesting, and it might just be because I haven't watched an older movie in a while, the lighting was making me laugh at a couple times. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, because you can tell they're like in a spotlight, right? Like, you don't really see that. Like, it's dark, but yeah.
It's 90s lighting.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, you would see that lighting a lot in the 90s.
Okay.
It was a very, they got stronger film stock. And so the lights were really, really bright.
Yeah.
From the weaker film stock of the 80s. And when they got the better film stock of the 90s, they still had these really strong lights.
Yeah.
And everything was too bright.
Yeah, it was really bright. There's a couple moments where it looked like they were about to give like a slam poetry.
Yeah, they hadn't they hadn't dialed it down.
Yeah.
One of these days, sit down and rewatch the first Scream.
Okay. That'd be interesting.
You'll see that 90s
horror
lighting.
Movies are, I feel like, are hard to watch. Like, or I've watched I don't even remember what we were watching. It was one of the older horror movies, and I could not stop laughing.
Oh,
do you remember?
We were watching,
laughing through a horror film.
Was it Halloween?
I think it was.
It was Halloween.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It's just, it's so funny. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is kind of true. Like, it's something you said. It was like, at that time, that was the scariest thing. Like, somebody coming into your neighborhood and stuff, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. It was, yeah. It's just the dialogue and the...
Not going to lie, man. That hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry, dude. I couldn't help it. I was, like, laughing in church.
when Mom and I had lunch today, we were sitting and... We just wanted to put something up just to watch because I was going to be busy and she was going to be busy. It's just something to get started, you know? And so we turned on the movie The Net. It's an older show, Sandra Bullock. And it's about, you know, computers and espionage stuff and blah, blah, blah.
But like dated ideas of...
Yeah, so I'm looking at it and I'm looking at these computers that they've got and these great big, you know, floppy drives that they're pachunking in and stuff and doing all this stuff, and the modem's going off over here, and that's how they're communicating. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, when I first watched this was a cool show.
Yeah.
And now I look at it and I'm laughing at everything I'm seeing. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is kind of. That's definitely a time thing too. Right? Like, yeah.
But you know, you were saying that a killer coming into your house and killing the babysitter was the scariest possible thing that could happen back then.
Yeah. We don't care about our babysitters.
No, we don't even care about school shooters. So I mean, getting political here. So now we have to find what is the scariest possible thing that could happen to us?
I think I will disagree on that point. I think I watched a scene. I don't know what it was. It was doing the whole TikTok clips. It was a scene of like a school shooting happening. It was like these girls in the bathroom and it was happening. It was terrifying. I'm like, it was actually, I don't know. That is the new, like, in the neighborhood kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is, they did whatever movie that was. I have no idea what movie that was, but like, it was a really heavy scene and they did a really good job.
Was it like filmed cinematically or was it filmed like with someone's phone? Like it was kind of like found footage.
It was cinematically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think found footage would be...
I think it was with a Zendaya. It might have been a show or something. I don't know. But it was, yeah, I watched that and I go, why did I watch that? That did not make me feel good.
I think found footage of that would be absolutely terrifying. Like people's reactions to it as it's happening.
Honestly, that'd be a really good idea to do that too, especially now because everyone's got phones and stuff. It would make it feel more realistic.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
But Few Good Men.
Yeah, Few Good Men, 1992. So a military lawyer, played by Tom Cruise, is tasked with defending two U.S. Marines charged with the murder of a fellow Marine and intends to prove they were only following the base commander's orders. Base commander, played by Jack Nicholson. Talk about craziness. Yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Holy Nathan R. Jessup.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had everybody in this movie.
Yeah, this was a stacked cast.
Yeah.
I made a list of, you know, notable characters, and I took up half a page.
Yeah, it was so many.
Of listing people that, they had Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Demi Moore, Kevin Bacon, Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Pollak. I love Kevin Pollak. J.T. Walsh. Oh, Christopher Guest. That's who you were trying to think of. Six-Fingered Man.
Yep.
Noah Wiley, Cuba Gooding Jr., Wolfgang Bodison. Wolfgang, that's the Lance Corporal Harold Dawson.
Harold Dawson.
Okay.
This was the first time he had ever acted. This is the and he didn't go there. He was there to do some work or something. He was like worked on the set or something like that. He wasn't there to be an actor. And they saw him and pulled him in and said, "Why don't you read for this and see how you sound?"
That's awesome.
And it's like, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got Harrison Forded.
Yeah.
Got Harrison. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to Harrison Ford. He was a set builder.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know one thing I did think was funny. So I watched this movie with my roommate, and he used to be in the guard. He was in the army, and so I'd be like, "How would that fly in the in the military?"
This is Montana Burke.
Yeah, Montana was in the military.
No, I'm just picturing Montana Burke issuing a code red.
Yeah, dude.
Doing a bit on Code Red.
Do you have a lot of Montana Burke fans?
On this podcast? we don't even have any Tabor Johnson fans.
Oh, yet. Dude. Yeah,
not yet.
We're working on
it. We have not released our first episode yet. We are we're building up
a little reservoir.
How often do you guys record?
The most we've done is two in a week.
Okay.
So we're getting 10 built up first.
Are you trying to do like one a week?
That's around what our rate is.
Yeah, we've been doing like every Sunday because of work and everything else that's going on. Usually we can get together Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And then we'll find a guest and we'll put something together. And,
okay.
And then, you know, we'll spend time editing it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then once we get them put together, at least 10 of them, then, you know, we'll submit one every week to the Spotify. So we'll have a 10-week buildup that we can be working on other stuff while we're posting.
Okay, see what you're doing. Yeah, that's cool.
The idea is to get enough on Patreon that he can retire and do this full time.
Hopefully that's really soon.
And I'll go to work.
Yeah.
And then he just does this.
Okay. Then it'll just be my dad's podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's full-time movie podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll just be on the mic 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
No. Oh yeah. What I was going back. Yeah. It was kind of interesting seeing things that happening. I did like Tom Cruise did so good in this movie. Like you forget just because of all the Mission Impossible movies, you know, which I'm not saying those are bad movies, but I feel like people like discredit
him. He doesn't do drama anymore. They don't let him do drama anymore,
but he's so good.
Yeah.
Like watching him in this, but then like some of the things like he acts, I'd be like, are you able to say that? She's like, you're dismissed. And he's like, oh, I forgot about that. I'm like, does that ever fly? And he goes, absolutely not. Made me laugh.
Is your roommate still in the guard?
Or no, he's not. One of them is. So actually I have two roommates. One of them still is in the guard, but he wasn't watching with us.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it was kind of cool watching that with someone who is in the military.
Right.
Which I kind of figured like a lot of the stuff for dramatic purposes and stuff.
Right.
And
yeah.
Well, they talk about in the movie, the Marines that are there at Guantanamo Bay,
mm-hmm.
they're fanatical. They're like the extreme of the armed forces. And everybody else is like, well, we know what orders are.
Yeah.
And we follow the orders, you know, unless maybe it doesn't make sense to us. And,
yeah. Nobody's going to die.
Those guys are like crazy about being Marines. So.
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't follow orders, they die.
Right.
That is true. That's probably
that's a good line. They should use that in the movie.
I'll tell them. Yeah. Send it in. Can you guys re-edit this?
Yeah. You know, you were talking about, the accuracy for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
I was watching a video. I can't remember what YouTube channel it was. It might have been something like Legal Eagle or something like that. It's like a YouTube channel that is a the guy's a lawyer, and he takes lawyer movies or TV shows, and he analyzes them and tells people how accurate they are.
Yeah, those are always fun to watch.
And he did one on A Few Good Men, and he said that as soon as Tom Cruise started screaming and yelling at Jessup, that whole thing would have been thrown out.
Yeah.
If Jessup's, you know, as soon as he's like, "You're goddamn right, I did," that it's done. That whole lawsuit is thrown out.
Right.
It's inadmissible. Yeah. And
I kind of felt like the movie, the main story was like him kind of coming to himself. Like, it's like him, like at the beginning, like the reason they put in all that stuff of him acting like, I don't really care that much. I'm like, you know, just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
And then Demi Moore's coming in and like putting some fire under his butt, trying to get him moving. And towards the end, he kind of, that's him kind of fully embracing himself.
Absolutely. Well, they set him up as he wasn't a trial lawyer.
Yeah.
He was a negotiator. You know, the stuff that he did never went to trial. He never had to go through those things because he would just make deals.
Plea
bargain. And then it would
easy
be
work. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't think the Navy hangs people from yardarms anymore, Sherby.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
When did that stop?
They should probably bring it back.
Yeah. Tom Cruise was incredible in this. And, you know, he's got himself a nice little, you know, niche carved out with those Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing with Keanu Reeves and his...
Reacher.
Yeah.
I think he does Reacher also.
Keanu Reeves with his John Wick movies.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do anything else for the rest of his life. He can keep doing that. But, you know, it's nice to see these people who used to do something a little more nuanced, and it'd be kind of cool to see them do that again.
Right.
You know, at some point, Tom Cruise is going to get too old to abuse his body, and maybe we'll see him, you know. We have Robert Duvall, who's an old man, and he's doing old man roles. Maybe we'll get old man Tom Cruise at some point, who's doing, you know, maybe we'll get Tom Cruise in The Judge.
Yeah. We got Keanu Reeves in Severance.
We're not.
Severance? Yeah, have you been watching it?
Keanu Reeves is in.
Yeah.
Who was he in Severance?
He's at the Lumen Building.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I think I'm an episode behind.
You've seen that then, yeah.
I got one more episode that I got to catch up on, but I think,
Are you guys talking about season two?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not on season two.
I've only seen season one so far.
Okay, season two's really good. They're both, that show's so good.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Mm. Nice.
But
so we're talking about all these really big name actors. It kind of surprised me that Rob Reiner was... I mean, I don't know what, you know, Rob Reiner is in the industry, but to be able to pull in all of these really big people all on this one movie seems pretty impressive. Like, and what I've noticed from Rob Reiner movies are they're almost family friendly type movies. You know, they're not blood and gore. They're not a bunch of swearing and nudity and sex and stuff like that. They're just kind of, they're mostly about relationships and people and situations and stuff like that. And so, yeah.
I'd say the most blood that you get in A Few Good Men.
The opening scene?
Yeah, is the blood that you get on the rag from the lactic acidosis. Yeah. Yeah. And then probably the most grisly you get from any of his movies is the hobbling scene from Misery.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was rough.
You never seen Misery?
Oh, man.
You've seen the scene, though.
Probably. I don't know what scene you're talking about.
The scene where James Caan. He's laying in the bed. And he's bedridden. She puts the block of wood in between his feet.
What's her name? Bates.
Kathy Bates. She puts the block of wood in between his 2 feet and, like, immobilizes them.
She doesn't want him getting out of bed and getting away. Okay. So she's going to stop him.
So she takes this sledgehammer and just and smashes his feet, and because they're wedged up against that block, just his ankles
just snap.
Like, oh, snaps.
Man, yeah, I've not seen that.
You haven't seen Misery?
No.
It's dude, rough.
It's good.
Yeah, dude. That seems, sounds brutal.
Yeah, dude, he's like a, is he a romance writer?
Yeah, he's a writer, right.
I think he's a romance writer, and he hates it. He hates writing romance.
Okay.
And so he...
Oh, actually, the name of the movie is the series that he's writing.
Yeah.
The, Misery.
He writes the Misery novels, and that's the character's name is Misery.
Okay.
And he writes the last novel, and he kills off the character. And he gets in a car wreck and gets saved by this woman who just happens to be this fanatical fan.
Yeah.
And she's nursing him back to health and finds the manuscript of the book in his bag and reads it. And she's loving it.
Yeah.
And then she gets to the end and finds out that Misery dies.
And she's rewrite it.
Furious. She flips. So she burns it.
Yeah.
And has him write a new one.
Oh, nice.
And she breaks his ankles.
Yeah.
And like drugs him and dopes him and just abuses him and makes him write a new one. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
It's insane.
This is also a Rob Reiner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one of these movies did he come out with first? Was it A Few Good Men or Stand By Me?
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me was okay. his first, yeah.
That's probably how he got so many big hitters from that one. Stand By Me
yeah.
was...
Yeah, Stand By Me, I mean, it was really successful. In fact, I think I had read he talks about, of all the movies that he did, Stand By Me is, that's like the crown.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's the his favorite, yeah.
Do people talk about Kevin Pollak enough in A Few Good Men?
No.
I think he does.
Kevin Pollak's character is fantastic.
Which one is he?
He is Sam Weinberg. He's the
he's the one helping Tom Cruise.
Okay. Yeah.
I think if you had just Tom Cruise and Joanne Galloway, Demi Moore, I think the chemistry would have been right. off. I think you needed that one.
Well, there's a real subtle funniness about him.
Yeah. And he's a stand-up comedian. So it, you know, I think...
Yeah, you can tell by his timing.
I think stand-up comedians doing dramatic roles are perfect. I think they do such a good job.
He was funny in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He does such a good job.
Him going, I'm just here. I have no...
responsibilities whatsoever. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious when Jessup's on the stand and he's telling Tom Cruise, who's going to stand on the wall? You
Lieutenant Weinberg.
Right? Lieutenant Weinberg's just sitting over there minding his own business and he's getting attacked.
Yeah.
You know, he's got those funny lines, but then he just swings back around with, and they killed a weaker kid. Why? Because he couldn't run very fast.
Right.
That line, that hits so heavy. That's one of the heaviest lines in the entire movie.
Yeah,
it's so sad. And so...
So Kevin Pollak, he's been in quite a few movies, and he's been in stand-up for a long time and stuff. He actually had, in an interview, he said that working on this film was the greatest experience he's ever had.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at that. Yeah, all the people he's working. I mean, everyone in that movie is a heavy hitter.
Yeah, and I bet Jack Nicholson was only on set for 4 days. that's what it feels like. he's got top.
Actually, I think you're right. I think I didn't put it on here, but I did read something about he was only there for like three days or something for filming, and I think on the fourth day, he did some extra stuff, and I think it. He made like $5 million. Oh, no. I'm sorry. 10 days of work.
Oh, yeah.
$5 million, 10 days of work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. The ones who did all the work were the three lawyers.
Yeah.
And it's really funny is Kevin Pollak's not even on the cover.
Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah. Another great actor and another Rob Reiner regular in this movie is
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes,
dude, I forgot how good he is too.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah.
Did you know that he has a scene where he's driving a Humvee, and there's Marines on both sides. He actually hits one of the Marines because he can't. It's too wide.
Really?
And he's not used to driving it, and he hits one of the Marines. Yeah.
Do they do a code red on him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he got a rag stuffed down his mouth.
Did you hit that Marine in the Humvee? No, I did not. No contractions from that man whatsoever.
Right. And there's the fanatical part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays such a good crazy person. Another, like, did you ever see Eye for an Eye?
No.
I think it was like Jodie Foster. I think it was. I could be wrong on who the lead is, but it's so good. It's very, first scene is like one of the heaviest scenes I've seen in a movie. It's pretty, like, yeah, I watched it with my mom. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's really good.
Okay. I'll put it on my list.
Okay. But he's a bad guy.
I don't want to spoil it. Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, and it's so out of character for him. He's talked about, like, when he did Stand By Me and A Few Good Men and all these movies where he's always the bad guy.
Yeah, Time to Kill.
He's like, this is like the total opposite of me. I don't act like this. I don't talk like this.
Yeah. You know? That is true. Yeah.
I guess that's acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a range.
Yeah. I didn't hire you to be a cowboy, Rick. I hired you to be an actor.
What is that from?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm glad you told me to watch these. If I watch a movie, a week later, I forget everything about that movie.
I definitely need to brush up on them.
Yeah. It's nice, though. Then you get to rewatch it for the first time.
You might have to go get checked out.
I do that with movies. I do that with comedy specials. I just remember what I need to know, you know?
Yeah. I remember comedy specials better than I remember
I don't movies. At all. People quote jokes. I'm like, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember Louis C.K.'s little strangling the baby on the airplane bit?
I just listened to that.
Oh, that sounds fun. Oh,
yeah. He's going to be here soon. He's going to be here in May.
It was my delivery. Trust me, it's way funnier when he does it.
Yeah, he was strangling a baby. If you can't, yeah, since you guys can't see.
he makes it way funnier than I do. Like, it was my timing was off. I'm not Kevin Pollak, guys. You were talking about Dawson. I thought Downey was really good in this too. That final scene in this movie where he's almost driven to tears when he hears the verdict, that breaks my heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a right at the end, I think is what you're talking about. And he's saying we did nothing wrong.
Yeah. What did we do wrong?
When Dawson says we were supposed to fight for
Willie.
Right. When Dawson starts talking and Downey kind of stops and turns around and he's listening to him, you can see him just kind of slump a little bit and soften. And it's like, it was powerful. Just that little tiny bit there.
He had a lot of moments with no words where you can, like, you could really tell what he was feeling. Like, right. Even when he wasn't speaking at all, and like early on, you could tell he was like, this is the scared one. You know, like, you could tell he's scared.
Yeah. That just goes to show you that even if you're not Tom Cruise, that even the small parts are very, very, very important. That if you had cast, you know, a bunch of popsicle sticks with faces drawn on them for Downey and Dawson.
Yeah.
That it wouldn't have worked. You needed two really good freaking actors to make those scenes impactful.
Now we just get pretty people.
Yeah. But I mean, they weren't bad looking either. They were good looking guys, but they were solid actors.
Yeah.
But nowadays we sacrifice acting for looks.
Yeah.
Right.
And the scene where Downey's on the stand and Kevin Bacon is just grilling him
about the time thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like, you know, calling out to
Hal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, kid's scared.
Yeah. He did really good. He did really good.
Yeah. A Few Good Men was written by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
This was Aaron Sorkin's first movie. Aaron Sorkin was a screenwriter. He was going to school and he was struggling. He was working as a bartender, I believe. And he was just like, I gotta sell something, and couldn't get any scripts sold. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to write a play. And so he wrote A Few Good Men and he wrote it as a play. And this was supposed to be a play. And some filmmakers got their hands on it and they were like, okay, let's turn this into a movie. And Aaron Sorkin's like, but this is a play. And they're like, right. Okay, yeah, it's a play. We got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we want to turn it into a movie. And he goes, okay, but it can still be a play, right? And they're like, yeah, it's a play, but we're going to make it a movie. So they turned it into a movie. And of course, it got turned into a play afterwards.
Yeah.
But then after that, Aaron Sorkin went on to create all sorts of incredible movies. He's written an insane, like The Social Network.
I never saw that.
I haven't seen it either, but I see clips from it all the time.
Yeah.
He also wrote that TV show, The West Wing.
Okay.
Which you've heard of, at least.
Yeah, I've heard of both of those, yeah.
And then Aaron Sorkin just directed something recently. I think it was like his directorial debut.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I think it might have been the Steven Jobs movie.
Steven Jobs?
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
I like Steven.
Steven. But, yeah. I think it was Steve Jobs.
Okay.
I think
I did watch that with Ashton Kutcher.
Not the Ashton Kutcher one. The one with Michael Fassbender.
I didn't even know there was another one.
It came out like the next year.
Okay.
I don't know why we needed two Steve Jobs movies.
Yeah. Because I just died.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Bro, that's probably why. Anyway. So, yeah. Aaron Sorkin is a great, great writer. He is very well known for his walk and talk style of writing. The characters are walking, characters are talking.
Right.
And Rob Reiner kept that in A Few Good Men. There's lots of scenes where, especially scenes with Kevin Bacon and
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Where they're walking down the hallway.
That whole scene where he's eating that apple.
that's a weird thing to latch on.
Well, but I something I thought about, I go, that's interesting. I've never seen somebody like so involved in like doing one, like, I don't know. He was like multitasking so many different things. Like right, it was yeah. like, I think it was to convey like, it doesn't really care about what he's doing.
That it's so nonchalant. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That's a perfect word for that. Yeah.
But yeah. So just, you know, next time you're watching a movie and you're seeing some walk and talk.
Yeah.
Look to see who wrote it.
Yeah.
And if it's Aaron Sorkin, you caught on. And if it's not, it's someone who was inspired.
But okay.
Another thing that stood out to me was the music for this movie. The movie opens up with that Sousa march, Semper Fidelis.
Yeah.
That's like, anytime I think about this movie, that song immediately pops into my head. The music that is in this movie is... It's really hard to say. It twists the emotions so perfect. And I think a great example, there's two great examples, is one when J.T. Walsh, Colonel Markinson.
Yeah.
I should say anything with Colonel Markinson. The scene where Markinson is sitting in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And the scene where Markinson gets in his full military dress uniform and, you know, kills himself.
Right.
The music just fully... The music is just full of sorrow and regret, and it's perfect.
Right. It's got to set the mood for you.
Yeah.
Right.
And the music during the final scene where Tom Cruise says, you know, Harold, you don't have to have a badge on your arm to have honor.
Yeah.
Try watching some of these scenes without the music and see if it gives you the same emotions.
Well, yeah, there's no way. That music helps create that emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does such a good job. Are you an emotional movie watcher or do you turn off?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I like it to be pitch black dark. Nobody's allowed to speak. I do. Dude, I get upset. I like to feel things. I'm like, it takes me out of it. Like I want to be fully like into whatever I'm watching. So
for you watching movies, it's kind of like being a Marine at, Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
the fanatic.
Yeah. I've got a code.
Do you mind if we pause this movie to make snacks?
Yeah.
No, we cannot.
Yeah.
Right. And now I'm going to stuff a rag down your throat. Yeah.
Basically. I've asked friends to leave before when I'm not even kidding. I'm being 100% serious. Awesome. Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you want to watch the show together? If I'm really into it, I'm like, yeah, sure. If they talk, I'll be like, dude, I don't want to. Yeah. You're going to have to go. We can't. I've asked you like four times. I want to, you know, you're pulling me out of it, you know?
Right.
I feel that. I mean, I'm like that with anything. I like to fully focus on whatever I'm, you know.
Sometimes when we're watching movies, my wife controls the remote.
Yeah.
And the movies, I mean, it's getting right into this holy crap, what's going to happen type thing. I mean, you're really vested.
Yeah.
Pause.
Oh no.
Let me tell you something. It's like,
yeah, I can't. I used to have friends and then tried to watch movies with people. I do understand, like you were saying earlier, when I was like, I hurt your feelings for laughing at that movie. That would upset me if it's a movie that I liked. It would. I understand that. I do. Cause it's like when you watch something, when you watch a scary movie, you want it to be scary. You want to, you know,
listen to the guy over here laughing.
Yeah.
The scary movie. Yeah.
I couldn't help it, dude. It was so cheesy.
Do you know my friend Becca?
Yeah. She does comedy.
Becca Chubber. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or she did comedy. Yeah. I haven't seen her in a while. Yeah.
She did it. She did it a couple times.
Okay.
Are we talking about Becca Chubber?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I didn't know she did comedy.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I think she did when I first moved here.
Yeah. So she had a rule with her husband. Her husband was like a human riff track.
Okay.
And would just talk and joke over movies.
No.
But she had a rule that there were certain movies that were off limits.
Yeah.
So
both of these movies are like that. I think like a comedy movie, maybe. Because if you're going to watch a movie where it's going to make you feel something, then I want to, you know. Yeah.
So she would be like, all right, we're about to sit down and watch this movie. This movie's important to me.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
I do not want you saying anything during this movie.
What are those papers? These are divorce papers if you say a word.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's why I like going to the movies. Like in the movie theater. There's no pause button.
Yeah.
The only thing then is like, you know, the movie's either about to get started and I'm going to miss the very beginning because somebody wants popcorn and they didn't get it when they were.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst.
Can you go get me something?
Go during the
middle of the movie. Go get me something.
It's go during the day and then nobody's there. You get the whole theater to yourself.
If
you can ever do that.
During the 50th anniversary for The Godfather. I'll talk about The Godfather all day. During the 50th anniversary for The Godfather, it was re-released in theaters. And I had the day off. Fallon was working. I'm not going to take her to go see The Godfather. It'll just be 45 minutes of her just ranting about Christmas trees.
In the theater?
Yeah.
Fallon.
I showed her The Godfather and she goes, ooh, Christmas trees. And I was like, he just killed Luca Brasi. Why are we talking about Christmas trees? And so I went to go see it by myself and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to see this movie on the big screen for the first time in my entire life. And it could be the last time. I may never get to see this movie on the big screen again. And there's this guy in front of me and he's just, I was like, I'm going to shoot this guy in the back of the head.
This guy's about to be covered in popcorn.
I can't do it.
I'm in the same boat.
I was like, you got to get that cough under control, man.
Yeah. Take care of yourself, sir.
Yeah.
That's funny. So sometimes we talk about actors who they were going to get somebody else to play parts and stuff. And they were talking about, so I guess Richard Dreyfuss wanted to be Colonel Jessup.
Okay.
He was like,
I know need who to that, do that is. What is he in?
He was in Jaws. He was the scientist that they brought in to.
What's a newer thing? Because he's been in a lot of stuff, hasn't he?
Yes, he's been in a lot of stuff. Have you seen The Goodbye Girl?
No.
Pick something newer.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. He was in Stand By Me. He was at the beginning of the movie.
He was the guy who was typing up the story.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he wanted to be Colonel Jessup. They said no. And then they wanted Gene Hackman to do Colonel Jessup, but he turned it down because he was doing a Clint Eastwood movie, Unforgiven.
He could have been good in that, I think.
I think he probably would have done a pretty good job. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes when you watch movies and once you've seen the character and this actor, it's hard to imagine anybody else
100%.
Could do that.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. And then the other person that they really wanted badly, but he was busy making another movie, Jeffrey Jones. He was doing...
No way. Are you... You're messing with me, dude. Are you messing with me?
No, they didn't want
it. Okay. I was like, but, no. They wanted Ed Rooney. from Ferris Bueller.
He would have been good, though.
Ed Rooney makes his way into every episode of this podcast somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you should change it to.
Oh no, we can't do that.
And yeah, Ed Rooney.
No,
but we don't talk about
it. We don't talk about Ed.
Oh,
Rooney.
Okay.
We
talk about Ed Rooney.
Sorry.
No. Yeah.
For someone we don't talk about, we sure talk.
He comes up a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not trying to kick it, Ed.
Yeah. You heard about him, right?
No.
Ooh. Look him up in your free time.
He got in some trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. It's everybody these days.
Yeah.
He did say stuff about school shooting, so.
That's right.
I don't like Mondays.
And Demi Moore. She did a really good job.
She did great.
She wasn't the first choice on this. Jodie Foster, Linda Hamilton, Michelle Pfeiffer, they were all looked at for the role before they actually went to Demi Moore.
One thing I really liked about this movie is they didn't turn that into like a love thing.
I agree.
There were some undertones, but they didn't fully, yeah.
I liked that because I think that would have taken away from the movie and the story. Because it's, yeah, they did definitely had some like, is something going to happen here?
Yeah. It's kind of like a halfway Bechdel test.
Okay.
You familiar with the Bechdel test?
I've heard of the, I know what it is. Refresh my brain.
The Bechdel test is in a movie or in a story when two women characters are talking to each other.
If they're talking about a man.
If they have any business on screen and they're not talking about a man.
Yeah.
It passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
If for some reason the two women are talking about a man, it fails the Bechdel test.
Yeah, so this failed the Bechdel test.
It doesn't necessarily apply, but it gives a woman character something to do.
Yeah.
And it does not make her the romantic interest. She is a important part of the story, and she's not there just to be Tom Cruise's
love interest.
Romantic partner.
Yeah.
She's not a Bond girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would have devalued her character for sure. Because she definitely played a big role in it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but
yeah.
And
Aaron Sorkin recognizes that. I mean, because the story starts with her.
Yeah.
She's going in. She's not being taken seriously. She has an arc too.
Yeah.
You know, all three of the lawyers have an arc. She is not being taken seriously as a lawyer, and at the end, she is a lawyer. She is a lawyer and she's being taken seriously.
Yeah.
Sam has no forgiveness in his heart and thinks that these guys are guilty. And at the end,
because they're just bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, he changes his mind and sees that these men have a heart and that they were following orders and that they had no choice.
And also convinces Tom Cruise's character to take Jessup to the stand.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to do it. And then I actually really liked that scene too. Cause I thought that was kind of cool.
That was a beautiful scene.
Yeah. Cause the whole thing is him battling with his dad's shadow and like trying to, you know, live up to what he assumes is his expectations and him saying like almost pushing him to reach his full potential.
Yeah.
So, Aaron Sorkin recognized Demi Moore's character, but not at first. So Aaron Sorkin actually shared a story where he was talking to the studio executive and was saying that if there's not going to be any love scenes between these two characters, Demi Moore and Tom Cruise, he doesn't see the point of having Demi Moore. It should just be a man that plays the part then.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's very 80s. Yeah.
So Sorkin, I was giving Sorkin more credit than he was.
Yeah, I mean, at first, he didn't really see if there's not, in the movie, if there's not going to be some sort of love thing there, then why make it a woman? What's the point of that?
Interesting. And that was a studio note. I crap on studio notes, man. I always think studio interference ruins movies. And this is an instance where that turned out to be a better thing. That worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's great.
What else about A Few Good Men? We got anything else or we want to move on?
I did think when you said A Few Good Men, I was thinking, have you seen Men of Honor?
No.
That movie's so good. It's with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro. I thought that's what you were talking about. Oh yeah. I love that movie.
What's it about?
He's the first black deep sea diver.
Yes, yes, yes. I've seen that a couple of times, actually. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what it was called, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And so when I was talking to you on the phone, I was like, oh, yeah, with Cuba Gooding Jr., because he is in this movie.
Yes.
Like, such a small role. And so I was like, yeah. And then he's like, no, it's A Few Good Men. I was like, I'm glad we're watching this again, because I just watched that other one. I was like, maybe I don't have to watch
it. Did you see that Cuba Gooding Jr. was in this?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay, yeah, because when I talked to you on the phone too, and I was like, Cuba Gooding Jr. is not in this, and then he shows up. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess he did. Yeah, technically,
just a little part.
Yeah.
So did Noah Wiley, and I really liked his character too. I loved that little there's two exchanges.
Yeah. Oh, the mess hall bit.
Yeah, the mess hall is one of them. Good.
Yeah.
But the other one is when they're I don't know what it's called out on the tarmac. The flight line, he's picking up Tom Cruise and Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak and going to take him to the base. And so they're in the Jeep, and Tom Cruise and Demi Moore are having a bit of an exchange. And Tom Cruise says, you know, nobody likes her much. And Noah Wiley's like, yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. Gosh. One of my favorite bits in that movie. Private, can you open up to in the handbook to the part where it says talks about code reds, and then Tom Cruise immediately flips around.
Yeah,
could you open up to the handbook where it says where the mess hall is? Wait, you mean to tell me the entire time you've been in Guantanamo, you've never had a meal?
Yeah, so good.
And well, then
three squares a day.
Yeah, and then it cuts right to Kevin Bacon sitting at his table and just that look.
Oh,
just
you like, got me. He's like, all right.
Yeah. Great move. Great move.
I like that he acknowledges it too when he meets up with him later too. Because it also shows like their friendship. Like,
yeah, they're
still buds. But
nice
also,
redirect.
Yeah.
You know, this is such an awesome cast. I would like to see another movie with them. There's plenty of crimes going on in the military. Let's see Kevin Bacon and Tom Cruise team up for another.
A Few More Good Men.
A Few More. A Few More Good Men. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be pretty good.
That's funny.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, you got a script on your hands, man. There you go. We have not talked about Jack Nicholson.
Not enough. Yet. Not really.
Gosh, man, what wasn't he so?
Guy made $5 million for 10 days of work.
Yeah. Speaking of good.
What else can we say? What?
Yeah.
I'm going to Disneyland now.
Yeah, I just love just the way he talks to everybody.
Right.
I'm just gonna have to go on taking cold showers until they elect some gal president.
And that exchange with Tom Cruise where Jack Nicholson does the little, you need me on that wall. You want me, that whole thing right there. I think I had heard that he practiced that off set a little bit, but then when he came on, they just kind of went full bore on it and kind of blew everybody away.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what they were really going to get from it.
What they were expecting.
Right.
He's kind of known for that though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's... And the thing is with Nicholson is that, gosh, sometimes Nicholson comes out and he's Nicholson.
Yeah.
You know, he's always playing the Nicholson-like character.
Yeah.
And then sometimes he's something entirely different. Like
The Shining.
I saw a clip of him from, it was a movie, what was it, Easy Rider, I think? And like he's got like a high-pitched voice and he's kind of got like a stutter or something.
Really?
He's like a weird, he's not... The charisma guy in that movie. It's the other characters. It's like they're like a bunch of friends that go riding. I don't know what Easy Rider's about. It's a cult classic and a very famous movie, and it's probably one that I need to watch. But have you seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, I know the premise of
Dude,
it, but
that
yeah, I know.
Movie.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's his first one, right?
No, that's not his first one.
Okay,
I think it's the first one he won an Oscar for. I think. And Chucky won an Oscar.
Who? When he was in Chucky?
Jack Nicholson
the doll movie?
Was in Chucky.
No, Jack Nicholson wasn't in Chucky.
Okay.
But the guy who played Chucky.
Okay. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Okay, so I've never seen it, so I don't know who that
so
is.
So he won an Oscar.
Okay.
And then played Chucky for the rest of his life.
Yeah, a little doll. That's crazy. All right. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. Dude, he's so good at it. It's devastating, dude.
Yeah.
I think Nicholas could play that character.
Chucky?
Yeah, no. Nicholas would never set foot near Chucky. No, I think Billy Babbitt in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I think Nicholas would do a really good job with that character.
Yeah, yeah. I think any character where they're a little unhinged and you don't know if they're just going to snap on you, I think Nicholas would probably play that pretty well because he wouldn't be acting.
Jack Nicholas.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
my little brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're over there impersonating Jack Nicholson, and Tom Cruise has a scene where he's impersonating Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And I guess that was ad-libbed. They didn't plan for him to do that.
Yeah.
And so that reaction of Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak
is authentic.
That was real.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because they didn't know that was coming.
Yeah.
He eats breakfast 300 yards away from 30,000 Cubans that are trained to kill him. Right. I've been doing an impression of Jack Nicholson. I just did an impression of Tom Cruise doing an impression of Jack Nicholson.
Nice. That's talent.
The range.
Yeah. This is a good movie. I love this movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
Stand By Me.
Before we move on to Stand By Me, I would just like to say that we have been talking for an hour on A Few Good Men. So I'm going to call this episode, and we are going to do a two-parter, ladies and gentlemen. So we are doing two episodes in one sitting. How does that sound?
Sounds like you already decided.
We're going to...
What do you want me to tell the audience right now? No?
we can cut that out.
No, it's in. Once it's recorded, it's in.
As long as we've got the room and stuff.
We got about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We could do a five
That's
minute.
That's all we've got.
No, I'm just messing with
it's
you.
It's a short. Stand By Me.
Don't
short
start deleting
episode.
Stuff.
Yeah. All right, hold on.
Thanks for listening to My Dad's Movie Podcast. We had a lot of fun creating it, and we hope you enjoyed it.
For more content, please check us out at Facebook and YouTube at My Dad's Movie Podcast, or visit our website, mydadsmoviepodcast.com.
And always, if you'd like to help support us, please check out our Patreon at My Dad's Movie Podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And we're gone.
All right.
Push the button.